through the dead of night, seeking out broadcasting injustice wherever it appears. Only one man can wield it. Media Bat with Tim Bat, only on 95 BFM.
Morning, Tim. How are you?
Good morning. I'm well. How are you, Rachel?
Oh, we're doing very well in here. We were just giggling at a joke about Boris Johnson, and we've been playing some music. It's been great. How's your life?
Classic Thursday.
Classic Thursday stuff.
What's going on at your end?
You know, just experiencing the world through a filter of very little sleep with a very active baby being
nice.
Like, hey, yo, you know what would be cool? What if I didn't go to sleep through the night?
That sounds very exciting for you, Tim. But
it's so exciting. It's cool. It's a brand new vibe.
So you're bringing us your rawest takes on the edge of sleeplessness. What are we talking about in the world of media today?
Okay, I got three tasty little nuggies for you. Actually, I got two tasty nuggies, and I've got one like full course.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
A main course.
Should we start with the nuggies then?
We'll do the nuggies first. So the first nuggie is that people may have seen this if they, like me, spend too much time online at the moment. And it was Mike Hosking getting his knickers in a twist about how everyone doesn't trust the media anymore in New Zealand last week in a monologue. And this was because a PR company called Acumen, which is a sort of daughter company of this big global PR agency that puts out a lot of surveys. So Acumen's the little New Zealand version. Mm-hmm. They put out a survey saying that trust in media has dropped to 41%, which is below the global average of 50%.
Right.
However, here's the thing, and I've got to credit Colin Peacock here, who's RNZ's Media Watch presenter, with bringing up some of these very good points. The survey includes social media when they talk about the media, which I don't think would be super intuitive for people to like know when they hear that stat. Mm. Not just that, but trust in the media category has actually been going up year on year since 2017.
True.
It was only at 27%, so it's actually increasing over time. Acumen's chief executive, Adele Kelly, had a quote in the sort of press release that put all of this out to media, which is that trust in social media in New Zealand is among the lowest in the world. And to that, I would say, good. People shouldn't
good.
Be trusting social media.
So this is actually like kind of completely the opposite of what Mike Hosking was reckoning.
You could definitely infer that if you wanted to. I mean, for my money, the long and short of it is there actually isn't enough quality data in this to draw any good conclusions.
Yeah.
Not that that's stopped a lot of, you know, commentators before, but they haven't said how big the sample size was for the survey. They didn't actually state when the participants were asked. So it's pretty hard to put any stock in it. Not that that's stopped Mike Hosking. But there's kind of this argument that's been forming, I would say particularly among some people on the sort of right side of politics at the moment, that the Public Interest Journalism Fund and other government funding that's going to Radio New Zealand and TVNZ in particular, but
yep.
also other parts of the media that do reporting, that it is colouring a sort of government-friendly perspective and set of reporting in New Zealand. So the argument goes that these news agencies are basically giving the government news it wants to hear. They're hiding stories that would be damaging to the government, and this is all so that they can chase more funding. And you know, it's not something that should be dismissed out of hand. I think the way that it's being presented is like a little bit more conspiratorial and
yeah.
Narrow than what is actually happening in reality. There's some people who I would suggest probably don't know very much about how the media and newsrooms actually operate, that
yeah.
are drawing a very direct line, saying that the Public Interest Journalism Fund has like bought off good coverage for the government. And I mean, I personally don't subscribe to that view whatsoever. But it's interesting because this actually kind of leads on to my second nuggie.
Ooh, nuggie segue.
yeah, it is. It's some nuggie crumbs. Nuggie crumbs to nuggie number two. So the RNZ TVNZ merger agency, which as far as I know they still haven't named, probably won't know for ages actually, some stuff is actually happening to prove that this is a real event happening in real
wow.
life after
Whoa.
two plus years of talk about it. So the former head of news digital at RNZ, a guy by the name of Glenn Scanlon, is leaving the BSA where he is currently to join as the head of transition at RNZ into this new public media entity. So you can forget all the details. The top line item here is that some big hires are finally happening.
That is exciting.
It's actually left a bit of a seat at the BSA, so they're advertising for his job at the moment, if anyone's interested. But yeah, so the way that this connects with the first thing is there's with the new public media entity that RNZ and TVNZ will form together, there has been some talk about a return to license fees as being one particular funding model that could ensure that this new agency is going to be so big. It's going to be producing so much of the content and news that New Zealanders consume every single day. And as a result, there are some concerns from the outset that governments of the day will have kind of too much influence over it. Even the simple mechanic of how much funding they get in each year's budget can be sort of instructed by, you know, from the outside looking in, it looks like it could be, if this agency is giving us favourable reporting, then we'll give it more funding and vice versa. So what some media academics are suggesting is that it's time to kind of re-examine us paying a license fee because it sort of insulates that centralised government control over it.
Now, I'm a child of the 90s here, Tim, so I don't think I've ever really had to experience licensing fees in New Zealand, but for, I guess, the sake of history, when was the last time we had licensing fees in Aotearoa?
Well, I feel like I would remember this because it's not as long ago as I thought, but apparently 1999, and the fee that people would pay annually was $110, which is $190 adjusted for inflation in today's money.
Okay.
So, if you know, obviously that would be, if it was brought back at the exact same rate, but we'd be paying roughly $200 a year each
And that would be for TV, for radio, for what necessarily?
Well, for this new entity, that's the thing. Right. So, I mean, obviously TVNZ is TV, RNZ is radio, but this new entity, I think, is going to be leaning very digitally forward as well. So we're probably talking everything.
Yeah.
Web series, podcasts, plus traditional television and radio broadcasts.
Now, is this what
cool
we have
stuff
overseas?
I haven't even thought of anymore.
Oh, sorry. I didn't mean to interrupt, but I did want to ask, do we see this? Is this what the BBC is funded by? Do they have licensing fees? Or how does it work overseas? Is it kind of normal to have licensing fees for a public entity?
Yeah, it is. There's tons of countries that do it, particularly in Europe. The BBC absolutely are funded by a licensing fee. There's lots of politicians that sort of run on trying to scrap it every year because it's, you know, one more thing that punters have to pay directly out of their pocket. It's not like built into some their taxes or what have you. The thing is, we all end up paying for this stuff somewhere anyway. You know, kind of just how the mechanic operates. But you do obviously feel it a little bit more when it's the separate annual licensing fee. So yeah, more details will come as this thing starts to form and we see how it'll get funded, but that's one argument being put forward at the moment.
So those were the nuggies. What's the main course?
Dude, NZME, which is a publicly traded company that owns half the country's radio stations, including Newstalk ZB, ZM. Man, I've been out of the radio game so long. Yeah, that's right, yeah.
Not us.
BFM is owned by no one. It's basically, MediaWorks owns 50%, NZME owns 50%, and then BFM's just out there.
Just hanging out in the park.
NZME also owns the New Zealand Herald. And, I mean, here's some bullshit. I'm going to editorialise pretty heavily now, and it's dangerous for me to do
this
so.
This is
because
Tim's opinion.
Yeah, well, I'm not like...
A little sting for that. Ding!
Usually I kind of rely on some smarter people, you know, making these arguments first and then coming out with my hot takes. But it really feels like NZME is doing the news media dirty at the moment. Here's what's happened.
This is a spicy take already.
There is this conglomerate called the News Publishers Association. It's in New Zealand. It is Stuff, NZME, Allied Press, they own the Otago Daily Times, and Spinoff. And they went to the Commerce Commission to say, hey, are we legally able to form a collective body to do some collective bargaining against Google and Facebook to try and get some better ad rates? There's a pretty wide-reaching context around this of how these two tech giants are basically getting all the money out of newsrooms because they're using the product that newsrooms are creating, which is journalism, reliable, trustworthy journalism, but they're also taking away all their revenue by grabbing all the ad revenue that normally would go to newsrooms.
Yeah.
So obviously Google and Facebook, well, I should say Meta is now the parent company of Facebook, are these massive, huge, well-resourced global companies. And as a result, they can kind of use their collective resources to just shit on everyone. So that's why this agency banded together to collectively bargain. The Commerce Commission, just yesterday, or perhaps the day before, issued a decision saying that, yes, they can collect, they are legally allowed to collectively bargain with these two tech giants. The day, I think, before the Commerce Commission actually granted their decision, which obviously this has been a long-running process, NZME just announced that they've made their own deal with Google.
What? And that drama!
That comes a week after they also made the same announcement that they've made their own separate deal with Meta.
Wait
so
a second.
So they've totally pulled the rug from under this collective.
They've crossed the picket.
Exactly. They're media scabs. And here's one of the craziest bits about this. The chair of the News Publishers Association, this collective, the chair of that organisation is the chief executive of NZME, Michael Bogues. And so he's been approached for comment and he's like, sorry, it's commercially sensitive because NZME is currently working out the deal, so I can't comment on it. And it's like, my bro, you're supposed to be the guy fighting the good fight and absolutely commenting on this and the other job you took as chair of this collective. So it's really weird. There's been, from my point of view, a little bit of an unexpected lack of commentary on this in the media, and I suspect it's because there's some pretty high-level conversations happening at all of these organizations. Like, the spin-off is exactly the kind of place where I would see some pretty quick commentary on this, particularly from Duncan Grieve. Duncan is part of this, he's very active in this this collective body that's doing the collective bargaining. So it sounds like some delicate politics are getting worked out at the moment, but right. It also seems like NZME, this publicly traded company, which announced to the New Zealand Stock Exchange this move to partner with Google to make their own deal, is going to generate $5 million more profit for them. So they've gone and
spicy.
Yeah, totally betrayed the spirit of this collective that they were part of.
Good Lord.
In my view.
That is a spicy take in Tim's view. Thank you, Tim. I've very much enjoyed the smorgasbord of nuggies that you've brought us this morning.
Love
from
it,
the media world. I hope you have a fantastic rest of your day. And I think we should definitely keep an eye on that story because it sounds very interesting.
I should keep an eye on NZME, they're dastardly.
Have a nice long weekend and we'll talk to you next week.
Take care, everybody. Bye-bye.
Come back next week for another exciting adventure on Media Bat, only on 95 BFM.